This is our final episode of the Lord's Prayer series. We are today discussing the seventh petition, which is deliver us from evil. Hey, it's Amber, wife, mother, type A child of God. Here are little things we look at everyday issues from a biblical perspective with one simple goal, to know and love God more. Thanks for listening. Now, Martin Luther, I've been using his large catechism. He says this about this petition. He says, in the Greek, this petition reads, deliver or preserve us from the evil one or the hateful one. So in other words, Luther says this is a direct petition that is against our chief enemy. So the Bible describes Satan as a created being. He is an angel. So God created him. He is not equal to God. He is beneath God. God is far more powerful. Satan has a group of angels that rebelled against God with him. So there are evil angels that are along with Satan. So not every temptation, every time that we're enticed to move in a direction that opposes God, that's not necessarily Satan tempting us. It could be one of his angels. But he and his angels are the chief enemies of God and God's people. So this petition is a prayer that God would deliver us from all attacks of Satan and his evil army. Now, sometimes those are going to come in the form of temptation, like I said. Sometimes those are direct attacks. I answered the phone yesterday, and I was on a phone call for an hour with somebody. And when I got off the phone, my husband had been listening, and he said, that was demonic. That was a demonic attack. The things that were being said about you, the things that you defended yourself against, that was nothing less than Satan or his evil army coming against you, Amber. And he was absolutely right. This person, whether they knew it or not, I'm guessing not. It was as if Satan was putting the words right in their mouth to just destroy me, just to say cruel, hurtful, horrid, mean, unbelievable things. I managed with the help of God to stay very calm and just to defend myself the best I could that, you know, well, that's not how I took it, or, you know, just say, well, this from my respect, from my, you know, point of view, this is what I saw and here's what happened and what have you. But there are going to be days that the attacks are just straight on at you, in your face, blatant, this is where this is coming from. And then there are going to be times that it's going to be much more subtle, and it's going to come in the form of temptation or something from the world coming at you, a worldly philosophy, and you're going to get sucked into that, what have you. So in this petition, we are praying against everything that Satan throws at us, including, Luther says, poverty. Now, poverty doesn't just mean financial issues. You know, if you don't have enough money to pay the bills, we sometimes say you live below the poverty line if you don't have this amount of money for a family of four or what have you. But we can have bodily poverty when we are sickly. We can have mental poverty when we are anguished by mental challenges that we are, you know, working through, anxiety, depression, those sort of things. We can have spiritual poverty when we allow our soul to wither because we are not in the Word. We are not meeting with God's people often to be encouraged and built up when we're not receiving the Lord's Supper, to receive the forgiveness of our sins and to have that communion and community together. That can lead to spiritual poverty. So Luther says we're praying against poverty. We're praying against shame. Now, shame, the definition is pain or humiliation or distress caused by wrong or foolish behavior. Pastor Mike just did a sermon series that was called Dealing With or something like that. And he said, you know, deal with yourself, deal with others, and deal with shame. And in that sermon, he mentioned, you know, temporarily, shame is not a bad thing if it leads you to remember that you are a sinner and that you have a Savior. Shame is a bad thing if we stay there, if we wallow in it, if we somehow feel that God hasn't covered our sin. Jesus' crucifixion took care of everything. There is nothing that you have done that God can't forgive. There is one sin that is unforgivable, and that's the sin of unbelief. It's a sin against the Holy Spirit who plants faith in your heart. So no matter what you've done, no matter what addiction, if you've killed somebody, you hired a prostitute, you had an abortion, lied, deceived, connived, stole people's money, whatever you've done, when you confess and you go to God, you can receive forgiveness. Now, are there going to be consequences? Probably. I was just watching, just prior to doing this, I was watching a preacher who I became acquainted with recently, and he was talking about how there are always consequences to sin. No matter what you do, you will on earth feel the effects of your sin because it hurts relationships. You sin against another person, you sin against your government, you sin against somebody, and you can't do that without there being trust taken or hurt happening. There's always a consequence to sin, whether you recognize it or not. Once we get to heaven, no longer will we feel the consequences of our sin. But what we can't do is wallow in those and feel as if Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough. He paid. He paid the whole thing. The whole debt is paid. We don't have to worry about it, so we don't have to wallow in shame. We are also praying against death. We're praying that God would keep us from spiritual death, because what Satan wants more than anything is to keep us from salvation in Christ. So he wants to derail us. He wants to paralyze us. He wants to make us ineffective. And ultimately, he would love to strip us of our faith. So we're praying against spiritual death. Lord, deliver us from evil. Don't let me get sucked into all that Satan would, you know, make me want to follow him down this path instead of staying with you. We're also praying for those we love and our congregations and people who are being persecuted around the world, who are experiencing sometimes physical death, that they would be faithful unto death, but certainly that they wouldn't experience spiritual death, that Satan wouldn't lure them in such a way that they would abandon their faith. And then in a nutshell, Luther sums it up against, we're praying against all the agonizing misery and heartache that Satan might throw at us. So those that we love. So if you are walking with God, you have to know that you have a target on you, because Satan already has the people who are walking with him. Unbelievers are already walking with Satan. So he's not trying to get them. He's trying to keep them in their unbelief. He's trying to make it seem really good. But on the same token, if you're walking with God, you've got a target on your back, and you better believe that you have to be shored up and ready to fight, fortified to face all that Satan and his evil angels would throw at you. Thankfully, you do not have to do that alone. God doesn't expect you to. That's not part of this. And in fact, we are told that God glories. He loves when we come to him in prayer. So how do I know that? Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. In Judges 10, the people have fallen into slavery again. The lands around them, their enemies have overtaken them. And God says to the people, go call to your idols, the useless gods that you've been following. Why don't you call to them when you're in slavery if you want deliverance? You certainly haven't been paying attention to me at all. in 2 Chronicles, I think it's 16, Asa was, you know, a king, a godly king for a long time. God had used him in mighty ways to defeat Israel's enemies. But we're told that when he was old and he had a foot disease, he didn't seek the help of the Lord, but only the physicians. God loves when we call to him, when we go to him and say, God, I'm feeling the effects of sin, of illness, of finances, of life in this world. I need you. God loves to answer his children's prayer. We shouldn't feel that we can do this on our own. We can't. Because while God is far bigger than Satan, Satan is more powerful than we are. He's an angel. And so he's an evil angel, but he's still an angel. He has far more power than we have. So we dare not try to face him on our own. If I could just remind you, you know, if you're not having a time of prayer and devotion as a family, could I just suggest that's something that you start? That as a family, you sit down, read the Bible together. If your kids are small, there are preschool devotion books, but you can start there when they're very, very young. You can start this and pray for your family together. Pray that, you know, God would keep you close to him and that you are not led astray and that you don't wander off. But may I also suggest you pray for your spiritual leaders, because that is a huge target for Satan. If he can take out your pastor, if he can lead him down a path of sin, whatever it may be, having an affair, stealing from the church. I'm thinking of some of the ways that pastors have fallen before. We saw, you know, I remember in 2020, some pastors committing suicide. So just despair. Remember your spiritual leaders in prayer. Remember your pastors. Remember the missionaries. I pray for them often because a lot of these missionaries are away from family and close friends. And man, I really love being around my friends and having them build me up and encourage me in the Lord. So our missionaries who are away from that, we need to be praying for them, that God holds them and keeps them close and reminds them that he is with them and that he gives them everything that they need to do their job well. Pray for your pastors, pray for Sunday school teachers, your Bible study leaders, for those of us who are working in any ministry capacity. I have 3 or 4 friends who routinely have just been prayer partners. They will text me and say, Amber, what can I pray for you this week? How can I pray for your family? They know that if they can take me out, that if Satan takes me out, if he makes me ineffective, if he paralyzes me, if he, leads one of my children away, then I'm going to be less effective in the work that I'm doing in my ministry. So pray for those of us who are in ministry as you pray for your families. The Apostle Paul regularly asked his congregations to pray for him, to pray that he would have the words to say to people and to pray for open doors, pray that the word would spread without hindrance. These are huge prayers that it takes minutes to pray these things, but imagine if God's people would all pray. What inroads could we experience in ministry when God's people just remember to pray daily, that God's word would spread and without hindrance, that Satan would be held at bay, that God would foil the plans of Satan to bring about destruction and chaos and pain on God's people. Please remember to pray for those things. Luther also reminds us that Satan is a liar. We hear that in John 8:44. Jesus said, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He's been a murderer from the beginning. And then, you know, Jesus told us that a murderer is to hate is to murder. And so Satan is full of hate. he loves to kill our ambition. He loves to kill our expectations from God. He loves to kill our love for each other and our love for doing God's word and for doing God's work. If he can make it seem like it's just repetition and that there's no sense to it and that it's just ineffective, or that, you know, why am I doing this? Or, you know, I'm kind of done with this. I don't get any whatever. That's Satan's goal. So we have to remember that Satan is a liar, and that when we are enticed to think that this doesn't matter, or that when we're enticed to do a different, you know, I think I'll just go work in a corporate job. If I go work in a corporate job, I can get power, I can get money, I can have my ambitions, you know, realized. Satan's a liar. I would rather work for eternal glory, God's eternal glory, not mine. I don't care about my glory. What am I? Who am I? But I'd rather work for God's eternal glory than for a silly CEO job here. And may God continue to help me have that mindset set. Without God's help, we wouldn't be able to stand against Satan for sure. So Luther reminds us to pray in faith without doubting. That is the main thing. As we pray, man, as Luther was finishing his dissertation, his letter on this, he just wanted to remind God's people, pray without ceasing and without doubting. We have a big, big God who is able to do big, big things. So don't diminish what God is able to do. I just heard Priscilla Shire's brother talking about how one of the things that she has taught him is to pray, Lord, you know, she says her prayers. And then as she's closing her prayer, she says, Lord, please do all that I ask, or do something even better. Like, if this isn't even close to big enough, or the best that you want to do for this person or this ministry or whatever, God, do even better, do abundantly more than what I've asked for you here. And that reminded me of Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. The Apostle Paul is writing this. And this was a verse that I became very attached to last fall. I was doing a conference with three other friends that we called the Immeasurably More Conference. And it came from this passage in Ephesians that says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, as in you cannot measure, God is able to do way more than we could even measure, than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, which is way beyond what we could even fathom, that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Who are you praying to? You are praying to a God who is able to do immeasurably more, so much more, than you could ever ask or imagine. Start ending your prayers the way Priscilla is teaching us to. God, I am praying that this person comes to faith. And I am praying that these people really are motivated to work in your kingdom. And I am praying that the gospel spreads in mighty and amazing ways. But Lord, if you want to, do even more than what I've asked. Answer it even better. Answer it best. Far better than what I've asked. Far more than I can imagine. Lord, do that. Because my brain is so small. And in my brain, this is good, but I don't even realize what you can do and how much bigger you could answer these prayers. That's the attitude we want to have as we pray the Lord's Prayer, and especially this prayer. Deliver us, Lord, in mighty ways. Satan is nothing to you. He might be kind of big to us because we're not as powerful, but we are just going to hide in the shadow of your wings, and we're going to let you fight him in ways that are far better, far bigger, have far more impact than we could even imagine. That's a great prayer to pray. I hope that you have really come to love the Lord's Prayer. It's directly from Jesus. It's God's heart for his children to pray. It's so rich. It's so full. There is so much embodied in this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer to pray, but it's especially a beautiful prayer to pray when you can really take the time to meditate on what each petition means and what is involved in everything that you're praying for. Because again, it's so much more than what we ask if we just rattle it off without thinking. This has been Little Things, because in God's kingdom, the little things are the big things.